Hi, I'm Tam.
And I'm Eternally Mortal.
And this is the Hidden Egg Podcast, where we talk about vulnerability.
And stuff, and things.
And articles on Medium.com. And you're listening to Season 4, Episode 8, right?
Yep, that's correct.
This week's theme is parenting, or parenthood.
Parenting element.
The concept of parents. Something along those lines.
I almost titled the stage broadcast we're doing as parent stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, that would have been perfect if you had.
Okay, I'll do that in the future. Season 4 has been such an episode, or such a season of learning and evolving for us, honestly.
Yeah, and it's weird because, like, we're learning these things, which learning makes things more difficult because you're learning them. But, like, all the things we're learning are how to make things simpler for us in the future. So it's actually, like, simplifying things so that we can learn new things to then simplify things to then learn new things. Like, it's really fun.
Absolutely. It's been delightful.
So,
our theme this week was parenthood. We found some really, really good and vulnerable articles that kind of seemed to theme towards parenting, and we're both parents, so, like, we related to good bits of it. And we have also had parents, so we related to good bits of it. Do you want to hit our shout-outs?
We actually struggled a bit with the shout-outs this week, partially because most of the articles that we got for this episode were when we were looking for last week's episode's articles. And we found so many that we're like, okay, we need to, like, cut these out. And so many of, like, all of them had to do with parenting. And we're like, well, obviously, that's the theme. So
yeah,
this week, we didn't really do a whole lot of deep diving to find new shout outs from the community that we tend to start with. These are all articles that we were like, they could have been, any one of them could have been in the main three is basically what I'm going for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was really difficult.
It was. And also, this past week has been kind of taxing on the both of us. You can hear more about that if you listen to the pre-show. We didn't really have the extra energy to put into finding more articles to potentially shout out. But we found just so many really good ones. And I agree, like, any one of these could have been a feature article, you know?
Yeah, and I just want to mention, just for the listeners out there, like, this is really difficult. We found so many fantastic articles. Trying to determine which ones are going to be one of the main three that we discuss, which ones are going to be shout outs, and which ones we are going to just have to not bring up at all has been really challenging.
Yeah, because there's a lot of good shit on Medium, guys.
Oh my god, there's so much good shit on Medium.
So, like,
not a sponsor.
And I don't know if there's other people out there. Certainly our audience is minuscule, like itty-bitty-bitty. But, like, I don't know that there's a whole lot of people out there that are just, like, showcasing the fact that there's really good art being made on this platform. And I'm not, like, whole hog in with Medium as a platform for who the creators of the platform or everything. It's just a place where artists can art like crazy. And that's what I love. It doesn't matter where it's at that I find it. You know what I mean? Medium's a pretty well-structured place to be able to find that kind of stuff, which is why we continue to work with there. But, like, yeah, I just like the art.
Agreed.
Anyway.
Yeah. We could go on for days about Medium in good and bad ways.
Yeah, but the point here is that, like, you know, it's a struggle for us to fit in the amount of articles we can fit in, because there's just a lot of really good stuff being, especially just vulnerable stuff happening.
Yeah.
We're probably just one corner of Medium is looking at the vulnerability
stuff. I don't even think we're a corner. We're like a dot. Like,
right, exactly.
There's so much out there. There are, like, I think Tony had said, Tony Stubblebine, I don't know how to say his last name. He's the CEO of Medium. I think he said there's, like, several hundred thousand that are published, articles that are published every day.
Oof.
There's no way. There's just no way we can get through all of that stuff.
Well, of course not. Like, we wouldn't be expected to. But I would think that there would be multiple different, like, programs like ours. People out there, you know, talking about, if not their own articles, then the articles that they think are awesome from other people.
Hey,
And
you
so...
know, dear listener, if you know of any other communities that are talking about exclusively Medium articles in a similar way that we do, let us know.
Yeah, sure,
Please, please
absolutely.
let us know. I would love to connect with people that are doing that same thing.
Yeah, that'd
anyway,
be cute.
So the first shout out is by Barbara Carter, and her article is, "If you knew you were dying, would you tell your family? And
And
if
if
not,
not,
why?"
why? Yep.
And this one is kind of an outlier from the other articles where she is the child in this situation. She's talking about one of her parents.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
He didn't tell his family, right? Is that what
Right.
you
He
mean?
didn't tell his family that he was dying, and then he just suddenly died without any answers. And I really relate to this because of my grandma, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because she was very suddenly just sick and then dead, just in a day. And I still look back at that and I think, you know, she had been losing weight. Like, her doctor was like telling her to force herself to eat. There had to be some information that she knew that we didn't, that would have made that way more, like, I don't know, make more sense.
Possibly less of a shock when it happens.
Right.
I don't know that it, you know, that the levels of shock actually get to change with that, but
Maybe
it was
not.
nice. It's nice to look back and be like, you know, maybe it could have been softer.
Right.
But the point is that this kind of thing does kind of happen. I'm sure that everybody knows somebody that has experienced somebody losing somebody suddenly. Wow, that was too many somebodies. Anyway, and it's a very emotional and vulnerable thing to talk about in the first place. And Barbara really took us through like a good number of like the what the past experiences like were like leading up to this, and how it made her feel through the entirety of the process of learning of his death and having to do things for it. And
Yeah, and how many questions it created as a result of not knowing anything. There were so many mysteries that as soon as he died, it was like they just popped up out of the framework for her. And I kind of relate. It was a little bit like that with my grandma. We found out that my grandma apparently was like a low-key hoarder.
Yeah.
Never knew. And that she apparently had like a cleaning OCD thing, and like all these things that like we didn't know during the life. And Barbara Carter had very not the same kind of things, but like different pictures in the wallet that made no sense to be in there, and
just
mysteries.
Like, almost like someone had decided to die with weird stuff to make an ARG, like a real-life mystery that you have to go solve with clues.
What's an ARG?
I might be using that incorrectly, but it's like a MatPat did one for the game theory. It's like you put little clues into, like, merchandise or web pages to have people, like, look stuff up in specific ways to find something somewhere. I don't know. I'm not experienced enough to really talk about it competently.
Gotcha.
Anyway, but yeah, Barbara Carter's article is amazing. It's very deep and intense, so I'd recommend checking it out. Intense might be too strong a word, but I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I did too, and it shows a unique perspective of parenting from the adult child's perspective that I don't think we really think about very often.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Okay, the other shout out, we only had two because, like I said, we didn't really do a whole lot of reading this past week. The second shout out, this was really difficult. I really wanted to make this one part of the three. It's by Claire Frankie, and it's called "I Spent My Childhood with an Imposter." And the only real, like, the best reason that we had for why this one ended up being a shout out is because it is hilarious. First and foremost, is a fantastic article. But in order to fully appreciate it, we can't give any information about what happens because we're telling the punchlines.
Yeah, exactly. It's and we've done it before to articles in the past, and
we're trying not to.
Right, but it's a really good relating of the past that was worded well and played with perspective, I think, a little bit, and in a way that I didn't see some stuff coming, and it was nice. So that's probably too much to say, even. It's great. Go check it out.
I know. We can't really talk a whole lot about it without giving things away. So we're just going to leave it here and say, go read it. It's hilarious. You'll love it.
Yep. Link in the article.
Okay. Are we ready for this next one?
Yes. This one. We'll try. Mm-hmm.
This one's by Jacqueline Dooley. Or Jacqueline. I don't know how to say names anymore. And it's called There's Inherent Heartache in Growing Up.
And the subtitle for this one is I love Disney's Inside Out for many reasons, but mostly because it reminds me of both my girls. And it's a very long subtitle, but really gives you some context.
Now, if you're looking at the video of this, you probably have noticed that it says it's published in Grief Book Club. And that is a big hint to what this story is actually about. Can we give away, like, is it okay to give away parts of this one? Because I don't know. I don't feel like the reveal was integral to the depth of the story.
No, and the reveal is very quick. It's very quick. I just scrolled through slightly, and it's like second paragraph. So, you know, it's part of the whole thing.
So one of her children passed away from cancer.
Yeah.
And I think it was the last movie that they watched together, possibly the last one in the theaters. I don't remember exactly if it was in theaters or out of theaters. But the last real movie that they saw together was Disney's Inside Out. Because the kid was like 11 or something. Real young. It was tragic. Tragic, yeah. Sickness. One of those,
as cancer.
One
does.
Of those like heart-wrenching things that all parents are afraid of their children not living longer than them. And right. Yeah, I already like the movie Inside Out, like as it is, because it's a fantastic movie that helps walk kids and teenagers or preteens through the process of feeling and being able to accept their feelings. And that's something that I think the world needs more of.
Fully agree. And I think they addressed a lot of the, like for Disney, I think that they addressed a lot of the angst of that time period in life. Mm-hmm. in a really important way, like a really actual way, which I was really surprised by. Of course, it's been a while since I've seen that movie too, but it was really, really good. I cried immensely, multiple times, over and over again. I cried at that movie. It was so good.
It was really good. And Jacqueline has taken it to an even higher point where the movie helped her. And possibly also her other daughter, to process their grief.
Yeah. Yeah. And because
that's
losing
huge.
Losing a child will send you into, like, the most grief you can imagine, I would think. And so you're going to need a mountain to be able to, or, you know, a mountain of tools or whatever to be able to get over that sort of thing. And this movie became an enormous tool for... What was her name? Jacqueline? Hmm. Yeah, for Jacqueline to get through that. And I mean, I don't know. It was beautifully worded, the way that she talked about how it got her through it. I don't know. I liked it a lot. Also, Sturge has popped into the audience. I don't want to out him. I don't want to make him say anything. You're welcome to just chill and vibe, but it's good to see you, buddy. Hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Sturge in a while. I hope you're doing good, Sturge.
Again, no pressure.
I'm tired.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Feel free
Understand.
to buy.
So yeah, I don't know how much to really say about this article that it doesn't say itself. But
Yeah.
this particular article was just it was heart-wrenching, but also kind of uplifting because it also seemed like this experience helped her form a deeper bond with her other daughter.
It was a shared trauma experience, and that can sometimes bring people closer together than anything else can.
Right.
But yeah, it did end with a very happy, like, they're both able to take the lessons they learned from that movie and, like, just thrive in the future, it seems like. So it was a really, really good article.
I want to take a
Stretch.
small moment and ask Sturge, why on earth, with your near 1,500 articles, are you suddenly deciding to stop writing? Because that seems worrying to me. I've seen how
Also,
many articles you have. That's just not something that I would expect you to decide.
and hey, we know you're tired, and so you may not want to talk about it right now, and that's okay. But it is a little worrying, but having no energy makes sense. But don't make any long-lasting decisions. Just take care of yourself now and what you need now. I think that's what's most important. Of course, I don't know shit about shit, so
No, it sounds kind of like, you know how sometimes I'll be in a place where like this past week almost, where I've just been exhausted and just being hit by everything. There have definitely been points where that is drawn on for weeks on end, and I've just been like, you know what? I'm not going to do anything. All the plans that I had, nope, just going to drop all of them because just thinking about the things I wanted to do was too much. It was too much energy just thinking about them. So I'm wondering if that's maybe where Sturge is at. And if that's where you're at, I am so sorry, buddy. Grieving your brilliance. This isn't actually a grief segment. This episode is about parenting. It just so happens that this particular article was also grief.
yeah, it was a parent dealing with the grief that way. Yeah, but pretty close, pretty close.
Yeah, it could be.
Grieving your brilliance. Your brilliance will stay with you forever, my friend.
That
I
is
don't think you
true.
could get rid of it if you tried.
I agree. It's dead. Oh goodness. Well, how about we talk about the next article and see if it helps you feel any better? Because it's the quote unquote abuse slot. It's not actually abuse, but you'll understand why it's in that slot when we get there.
Yeah, I think it's time to move on to the next one. If you're ready to do that.
So this one was sent in to me by YouGood earlier this morning, and I read it and I was like, this has to be part of the episode. It has to. It's
Right.
perfect. So Lindy Vogel wrote it, who apparently is the founder of the Sweary Mommy pub on Medium, which I didn't know that. And it's called I'm a Bipolar Mother of Six. Here's what I want you to know about being a crazy parent. It's not what you think.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
The vulnerability expressed in this is amazing.
Yes.
There's so much that, like, a lot of people would not be willing to share that she put down on this paper, and the courage in that is amazing to me.
I'm going to be very honest here. She has lived my nightmare. That is my nightmare.
Right.
I have been afraid for what, 25, almost 30 years now that I am like on the edge of bipolar and that it's just waiting for that one moment, that one weird moment where the chemicals align improperly enough that I just go batshit. And that's what happened to her. And it
And
can happen at any time.
I've always been fascinated by that. I'm sorry, this hopefully doesn't sound too patronizing. Cross my fingers. I've always been fascinated by what it looks like through the perception when you are losing touch with reality in certain regards like that. And so She had several moments that she talked about, several different events that she talked about where she literally took actions that didn't make sense to even her, potentially in the moment, and tried to explain like the reasons why those actions seemed like the right thing to do at that time.
It
And
sounded to me like she, like they made sense to her in the moment, but after the fact, she looks at them and is like, that doesn't make any sense. And I've been there. I've been there. You've seen me have moments like that. And it's like, is that like I've always worried that I've had like bipolar 2, which is technically just a lessened version of bipolar 1. Although a lot of people contest that and say the bipolar 2 doesn't really exist. The bipolar 2 is just what happens when bipolar 1 people haven't had a full like manic episode yet. So it's yeah, there's a lot of people that don't even believe bipolar 2 exists. So it's just bipolar to them. But yeah, the idea that 'cause she mentioned somewhere in there one of the things that she did was she just stripped down nude in front of her gardener in her backyard and was completely fine with it. There was no shame, no embarrassment. She was like, "Yeah, this is what I'm doing." And I don't know. It's a night that's a nightmare. That is a nightmare. For all of the things that we know like we shouldn't do. Or that we don't want to do, and then suddenly the inhibitions come off, and then it's replaced by like a justification for why you should do this thing. That later on you're like, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that at all. That's
Yeah,
terrifying.
I can imagine, and there's a lot of people I know, I think myself included, although maybe I don't, because it's hard for me to, I think, to conceptualize. Even though I've been drunk, you know, where you do
Right.
things drunk when you don't really, that wasn't be what you chose to do. And that's the only thing, that's the closest thing I can come to experientially to describe it to myself. Which is, like I said, why I was so excited to have her try and explain what it looked like through the perception to go through those events. I think that we should have so much more of this out there to be able to let us to be able to share that with everybody, to let people know what it looks like, to find common ground on it, to be able to potentially make it easier. I don't know. I just maybe I'm just curious and nosy and getting into stuff that's not my business, because I'm sure it's super difficult to share when you've, you know, lost control in a certain in that regard. That's terrifying, as you said. And so relating it might also be like horrible. That's cute.
Sturge with the gifts.
Right. And to top it off, this person is a mother of six that had those six kids when these episodes happened. And so many people out there that are parents that I know have no greater anxiety than the thought that maybe they fucked up as a parent. Excuse me, I'm cursing a lot this episode. I'll try to tame it in. That maybe they messed it up. You
This is a
know, I think
sweary
almost
mommy
every.
episode. I mean, this is
There you go.
literally that's the name of the pub. So I think this particular episode maybe we'll just mark it explicit.
Okay, cool. But yeah. She the feeling that maybe you fucked up being a parent. God damn it.
We already said that's fine.
Yeah, we already said that's fine.
I
That
know.
feeling, a feeling is just really difficult for people to get through, you know. And as a parent myself, I worry all the time. And even as an older brother, you know, a decade older brother, I feel that sort of responsibility as well, that maybe I had some sort of negative impact on the development of people that I care very deeply about. But we all be individual people. We all, and so while everything that we do affects other people, and the parent-child relationship is huge, at some point it has to be realized that that's two entirely separate entities responsible for themselves.
Yeah. And like she focuses, Lindy focuses on what the events did to her family, which I totally understand and agree with. But I want to point out that's got to be terrifying for her. Because I know what it's like to feel like I don't have control over my mind and to be afraid of my mind deciding that something is right for me to do in a moment that I don't personally believe is right for me to do. That's just terrifying to me. And I can only imagine, like, as she, because she mentions that, like, she has to learn to rebuild trust between her and her family. But she's got to build that trust between her and herself, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's got to be one of the most difficult things. As someone that doesn't trust themselves, and I can't claim to be in the same camp here as Lindy, but as someone that just like amateurly doesn't trust themselves, it's a nightmare sometimes. Just trying to say, okay, but I sense this thing, I see this. Is this even real?
But like
So
one of the biggest reasons why this went into the abuse slot, because we have slots, so like we try to fit the articles into three different positions, and the middle one is, abuse related or abuse adjacent. The stories that she was able to share with us about moments of manic insanity, and I don't think she's crazy, but those moments definitely were out of sanity.
right.
Those moments, some of them bordered on, or even one of them
No, they were absolutely.
crossed the line into being an abusive parent. And like she's getting help. It's not her fault that this is something her brain is doing. But like, think of all the people out there that they don't have supportive, loving families that are paying attention to who they are. They don't pay attention to the weird, wacky things and be like, what's going on? Let's get you some help. They think, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you being a bitch? And how many women out there and mothers out there, they don't have the benefit of thinking about whether or not this is a condition that could be cured. This is something that their brains are like, I need to protect myself from people thinking I'm crazy, so I need to bolster the justification for these things, even though I don't believe that I was right in doing them. And that can lead to a very abusive situation. So condemning somebody in her position actually causes more abuse than it saves people from.
And it's difficult for the abused, which I think many, many, many of us have been abused, but it's difficult for the abused to remember that the abusers are also human.
Right.
And it's always going to be very, very difficult to set up the lines between how much abuse a person has done and whether or not they're irredeemable. And that's got to be a that's a subjective thing.
Well, it's not even just that, but also you have to set the line between like, could you imagine if her husband didn't know her completely enough to know that the things that she was saying didn't add up to the who she had been?
Right,
If
absolutely.
he actually thought that she was just being this way, that this was just who she was, like there wouldn't be any okay, let's go to a doctor and see if we can get you some help. There, it would have been immediately, I'm getting a divorce from you. And then she couldn't handle her mental health while going through a divorce. So obviously, bad things are going to happen through there. And then once the divorce takes place, would she have felt safe to go to a mental health institution to find out what was actually wrong, or would she be worried that he would take her six children away from her? Like, imagine the fear for people who don't have partners that are willing to draw the line and say, you know what, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that this isn't who you are, that this is something happening to you, and we will see what can be done to get you some help so that this can protect you and our children.
Right, exactly. Taking the time
How many of
to be
these
in a
women end up on the street because they didn't have a support network like she did?
right. And a lot of people that deal with that particular malady, a lot of times turn to drugs, I believe,
Yep.
like the street variety of drugs.
How many
And
times have you heard me say, I already feel messed up, I might as well you know, get drunk or get high. I never took anything hard, you know, when I was feeling that way, but there were definitely moments where I was like, my mind doesn't feel right anyway. If I'm gonna feel messed up, I might as well do it on purpose.
Right.
I can imagine that's not a unique thing to me. I'm not that special.
Yeah. And this article just shouts how strong this woman's support network is, because like the ability to not only get through it, work on rebuilding those relationships while also dealing with this new level of the illness, if that's what it's called. There's just so much courage there, and I don't think that courage could exist without the fact that her husband and probably others were willing to help her get through that situation. And that's amazing. That's beautiful, really.
Yeah, so as scary as the story is on one hand, it's also a really beautiful story on the other.
Exactly.
I'm really glad she was able to share it. That had to be hard.
I agree.
And I agree with Sturge's gif. I know that it was probably done as a joke, but this whole, like, won't somebody please think of the children? Like, before you decide that you're going to separate a child from their mother because their mother's being crazy, maybe see if the mother needs help. Like,
right?
There are sometimes reasons that aren't their fault, and it doesn't help the mother and it doesn't help the children to just decide that a parent is a bad parent and that the children would be better off in the system than being with them. Because it's not usually true.
No. I mean, I'm pretty sure this dad would have taken all six kids and figured it out, but at the
in
same
this
time,
situation, yeah.
Yeah,
but
that is not the norm.
Yeah,
that is not the norm.
There are other situations where, like, the bipolar presented itself earlier and the husband, you know, fucked off. And maybe there weren't six kids, maybe there's only two. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, everybody's got a different story, and bipolar disorder is actually a lot more common than people think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't want to take away what you're saying about, you know, what women have gone through in regards to this as well, but I'm sure that the toxic masculine culture that kept men from talking about their problems made it to where, like, there's a bunch of undiagnosed people out there that deal with this that are just afraid to go talk to somebody, afraid to ask for help.
Yeah.
Dudes, you know.
Yeah, I don't even know what most people that end up being diagnosed with bipolar disorder are female, and they don't know if that's because women have a higher risk of being bipolar because of the hormonal fluctuations, or if we report it more often because we don't already have all of those other toxicities involved. For all we know, as a society, men could be just as likely to be bipolar, but it manifests so differently that we don't see it as bipolar disorder. We see it as an anger management problem or a gambling addiction or addiction in general.
Yeah, any of that stuff.
Any of those things. Like, we just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought it was a little side point to bring up.
Yeah, it's a good side point.
So check out that article.
Sorry, I'm laughing at the GIFs. I don't have much to say about it, but they're pretty on brand.
Uh-huh. I will say, when reading the article, the six, mother of six, is just
right?
Astronomical. It is astronomical to me. Like, I know it exists. I've heard of people that had, like, freaking 13 or 14 kids from the same parents, so, like, I know it exists and it's possible to happen.
But just raising one was hard.
Yeah,
we should imagine six. Jeez.
But we're also pretty autistic, so
yeah, that's true. I guess maybe there's some differences, but still, it can't have been easy. It can't be easy.
Right. It's just why I want to continue. Want to shout out the praises of this of the husband in this situation, because a husband that's willing to deal with six children and a wife that is, you know, discovering bipolar one, like, wow.
Yeah, that's rough.
And he seems to have not only survived, but, you know, been the rock, and that's amazing, truly.
Yeah, shout out to him, guy. Whoever this behind the scenes husband is, because he's obviously awesome.
It is so hard being a parent.
It is so hard being a parent.
You ready to move on to the last article?
Yeah, I'm ready to move on. All right, the final one, and hopefully the one that will give us a little bit of a smile and hope for the future, is from Michelle A. I'm going to butcher this last name, and I'm so sorry. Kmarik?
Maybe.
I am so sorry, Michelle. I am sure that I have butchered your last name, but I have no idea how to say that. It looks like maybe it's a Czech name, and I don't know how to pronounce things on
that
side. You as well, Sturge. I hope you find all the smiles.
Yeah. Take care of yourself, buddy.
So this article is called My Fears of Divorce Kept Me Stuck in a Loveless Marriage for Years.
Yep. Subtitle was, Until I Confronted the Fear Head On, I Couldn't See What Awaited Me on the Other Side. And I just read this one today. I thought it was a different article entirely from before. One of the ones I think we had to cut, maybe. But I have to scroll through it again for some reason. My brain just kind of like stopped.
So this one was about a mother that was unhappy in her relationship. They just didn't click anymore romantically. They were going through the motions. And at a certain point, she stopped just fantasizing about leaving and decided she was going to leave. Kind of what happened between me and the father of my child. Where, like, it just didn't, it wasn't working. It wasn't like I could say that something terrible happened. It just wasn't working. And that's a hard decision to make. It's easier when you can point to the guy and be like, as a woman, and be like, this is why I left. And everybody be like, yeah, obviously, you can't live with that. But when it's something as, you know, quote unquote minor as just the love left the relationship, society tells us we're doing something wrong because we've left the safety of the relationship just because it's not enough. And I'm really happy that she was able to overcome that and do it anyway, because she's a lot happier on the other side.
And we were raised with the whole concept of, you know, stay together for the kids. We heard that as kids all the time. Not even just from our parents, but from, like, society, like, colloquially. Nope, that one. Mm-hmm. Well done. 10 out of 10.
I mean, there's even a song that's literally titled Stay Together for the Kids. But
I'm not even aware of that.
Well, but the song points out how damaging that is as a concept. That, like, you know, you're teaching your kids what the kind of relationship you don't want them to have.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's all they know. So that's all they're going to look for, because they don't know what to look for that's better. We all try to do the best for our family.
Exactly.
Exactly, Sturge.
I wish I knew more South Park to really get the reference, but it's probably hilarious.
I want to say that had something to do with her German porn thing.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I think. Because that's Stan's mom, right?
I think that is.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to watch more South Park. I'm so uncultured.
Anyway, Sturge is so distracting. I love it.
We love it so much.
But the biggest part about this article is that she didn't blame him, and she wasn't trying to make excuses for what she did. She was honest with herself about the situation, and it's still okay.
That was am I cutting out? That was my, like, why the art, I think this article works as, you know, our closing article for the day, because, like, it's a person that was afraid to do something for a long time and then made the decision to do it and suffered with that decision, because consequences and change is hard. But after a year, just a year, there's already positives that are starting to show through. There's already the feeling that the change was worth it. And there's all, you know, that kind of, not to ruin the end, I guess, but, like, sorry, I keep doing this.
It's fine. I mean, like, that's kind of why we put it as the feel good articles, because like there's some feel good, and it's hard for us to really get that across the way she did in the article. So
That's
obviously
true.
we're gonna suggest for you to go read it, listener. But it was a very, like, I ended the article, like, after reading the whole thing, I just felt really good for her that she had
Yeah.
opened this corner, this doorway into her life that was scary and maybe a little bit shameful, or not shameful, not like she needed to be ashamed, but she might have felt ashamed at some point.
Yeah, I'm almost certain she said that directly
And
in this article.
at the end, it's like, but this isn't the end of the world. It's gonna be okay.
Right.
We can get through
And
this.
she was on an upswing, and it's great to see.
And yeah, it was great. It was, you don't get that very often.
No.
A lot of people end up focusing on the fear, or they focus on the shame. They don't focus on, I got through those points and I've accepted where I'm at, and it's not the end of the world. We can rebuild.
Yep. And it seemed like they took an interesting path towards like co-parenting. Did
Yeah.
you catch that in the
I
article?
did catch that at the end.
'Cause like I was kind of almost touched that like it seemed like in a lot of ways they were still working together.
Yeah, I guess they go on vacations together. I've heard of people doing that.
Yeah, and you know, it seemed like, if I understood the article correctly, they rented an apartment for the other person to live in when they're not with living in the family home with the kids. So like, you know, they're working together in a certain regard. And so, you know, it's almost like I mean, I hope this isn't too close to home, but it's almost like they just couldn't quite get to our level. You know what I mean?
Right, where we all just live together and find a harmony
Right.
with it.
Right. Because we discovered that there wasn't a romance at a certain point and just easily, well, not super easy, I
Yeah,
guess,
I don't
but
know
like,
if it was easy. We had a lot of tear-filled moments and difficulties.
yeah, but, you know, in the grand scope of things and in the way that a lot of relationships have ended, like, we transitioned to the friendship aspect, I think, pretty well.
Well, we had been relying on the friendship aspect as the major anchor in our relationship for such a long time. It was almost like, what, this is going to sound terrible, so if it ends up sounding super horrible, I'm sorry, but it was almost like our relationship had a sort of rot to it in the romantic aspect, and cutting that out was painful. But it allowed everything else to survive and thrive and grow even deeper.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Yeah.
like, sometimes trying to save the romance in a relationship is actually harmful. And this is like 8 years later, I look back and I'm like, oh, we weren't really as compatible in that way as we had thought.
Right.
And that's okay. And I
Nothing
have a
wrong with it at
feeling
all.
Michelle and her ex-husband probably had something similar that went on, that like there was a friendship, a deep friendship there, but the relationship maybe wasn't as strong as it seemed like it was going to be.
Yeah. I mean, let's hope. It's possible that maybe their friendship isn't quite as deep, but who knows? But I hope that I just hope that, you know, everything works out and goes well for them. It's a good story. I love reading it.
Yes. Now, moving on a little bit, I'm loving this little gift that that Sturge put up, How to Care for a Sad Person. I want to now roll people into blanket sushis.
Yeah, I know. It's cute.
It is adorable.
Play sad roll on couch. Can you play sad roll on couch, please?
Don't know
That's
if I
so
could do
cute.
that. I'm like, I don't know if I'm the smallest or the second smallest in the house, but I am small.
You're small.
I'm pretty small.
Just a little guy.
Just a little guy. That's what our kid says all the time. They're just a little guy.
Yeah, I say it all the time now.
We say it because they say it.
I started saying that from Hearth Coven Games, the podcast. I'm sorry, the D&D live play that I watch on Wednesdays.
Huh.
They say that constantly and have for years. And what?
The task bar came up and was making me click things. I was just trying to click on the thing so I could see the GIF.
I'm going to continue. Is it okay?
Yeah. Sorry.
I think that it was on the internet, and so I think that like Kai and I started saying it somewhere around the same time. I think that hearing Kai say it made it to where I felt comfortable being able to.
Maybe. I know Kai said it a lot before you did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Still.
Okay. Well. Do I start?
Well, I start off by saying thank you to Sturge for being part of the live recording. If you, dear listener, would like to join into the live action fun, visit themonsteralley.com. That's themonsteralley.com. We've got Spotify links to the episodes. We've got article links, merch, etc. But more importantly, you can get your invite to the Alley's Discord server and join us in the stage channel weekly. Visit themonsteralley.com. It will make us super happy if you do. And as a bonus, you'll get a thanks at the end of each episode for stopping in.
Yep. We appreciate you coming along and listening to us, dear, dear listener. I'm eternally mortal, and I hope you find smiles this day.
And I'm the Accidental Monster. You can find us both on Medium.com. And I hope you... Wait, what's your thing? What's my thing? Follow yourself always.
You did it. Good job.